my name's Casey Marks.
Casey, and here we are in a redwood forest. Tell us about where we are.
We are in the Armstrong Woods State Preserve, where we often take groups of people through the redwoods. We're the stewards of the coasts and redwoods, and we talk about redwood ecology and what a special place this really is.
It really is a hidden gem. You could drive by the entrance and never know this little world exists.
You could. It's very small. There are other state parks that get more visitors. We get about 1 million visitors a year, which is not big for a redwood forest.
Even as a geographic destination, it is a little pocket. It's a little hidden world.
It is. With the redwood trees shading the park, it's always good to walk through here and get a feel for the power of nature all around you.
What's the breadth and length of the trails?
We have two types of trails. We have the nature walk, which is about 1 mile or 1.5 miles, depending on the type of path you want to take, and then you would need to walk out as well. We also have more difficult hiking trails for people who are interested in more of a hiking challenge, like the East Ridge Trail or the Bullfrog Pond area. Those are more for people who are looking to do hiking rather than the nature walk.
Okay. In general, let's take a family, young kids. How much time would you tell them to plan on spending here?
We like to ask people to plan on at least 2 hours. It takes that much time to really soak in where you are, decompress a little bit, and get a feel for this wonderful environment here.
And you and I on our hike this morning, it was light rain, so we soaked in two types
We soaked in the water too, yes, and the ambiance.
Yeah, which is wonderful. It's a real actual extra special time to come here.
It is. The rain makes the trees very happy, and the smells during the rain are just phenomenal. I wish I could share that with your listeners. It's fragrant, and we get lots of people who come here and just talk about the smells.
And there's just something about the life and living organism factor with that water. It's so, I mean, I would choose a drizzly rainy day over a sunny day.
Well, and also redwood trees, which is the predominant plant in this particular park, are phenomenal entities, creatures, whatever you want to call them. They are very long-lived. We have one that's about 1,400 years old. They're extremely tall. It's fascinating to learn about the adaptations that they make in order to live that long.
I was talking to a scientist the other day, and he was saying that one of the benefits, a positive benefit of global climate change, is that there's more coastal fog. And so the coastal redwoods are actually benefiting in some ways.
Well, I hope that's true. I've heard varying projections.
This is short term.
Yes. I've heard various predictions on the future of the coastal fog, and our coastal redwoods do depend on the fog for their existence.
Let's loop back on somebody who's never been here before. Where are you located, and how would somebody get here?
We are located about 2 miles from Guerneville on the Armstrong Woods Road, so it's fairly well named if you're trying to find us. Guerneville is located halfway between Santa Rosa and the coast where Jenner is on Route 116 in California.
Very cool.
My name is Casey Marks, and I am one of the docents that shares this beautiful property in the Armstrong Woods from the Stewards of the Coast and Redwoods.
Thanks, Casey.
Thank you.
Where we are sitting is the Gallery and Bistro, right next door to Barn Diva.
We're here with Ryan Beerer. We're at Healdsburg, California, right in the heart of downtown.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun here. Pretty busy. We're having a slamming Sunday night here in the Gallery and Bistro right next to the restaurant. Very happy to host you.
I heard that Sunday night is super popular here. Three-course thing that's a regular. Tell us about that.
We have a delicious French country suppers on Sundays here. It's a three-course pre-fee. It's $39 a head, and it's kind of grown to a crowd's favorite, where we offer our house-fried chicken every Sunday night, in addition to another option for the entrees. And we always please the vegetarians or any vegan requests, too. But it's definitely grown to quite the crowd every Sunday night here. It's a lot of fun. Lucky enough, our chef on board, Ryan Fancher, he has put on our usual bistro menu here, an amazing top-notch gallery burger, too. So you wouldn't have to search any farther for the best burger. It's right here at Barn Diva.
One-stop shopping. Fried chicken and burgers. I love it.
It's great.
How long have you all been here?
Our restaurant next door is built ground up 12 years ago, and our gallery and bistro here is about 4 years old. We do a lot of weddings on site. We do about 30 weddings a year, winemaker dinners here in the gallery, but our gallery itself about 2-3 years old. And growing.
This is more of a special event venue, or is it open every day too?
Seasonally, on the weekends, it is booked out for special events. Yes, it's definitely got quite the desired destination location for a nice wedding or top-notch event.
And your clientele, my sense is that it's pretty much driven by locals, not a tourist
Absolutely.
Destination.
One of the owner's focus was to develop almost Barn Diva 2.0 next door, where we could definitely thrive on what the locals have given to us throughout the years and kind of give back to them a nice room where they can be more feel free about their dining experience. It's been quite the change here from just a gallery and now growing to a bistro where we do offer full menus 5 nights a week that we don't offer closed doors for our events. Unfortunately, we do close a lot seasonally during the summertime on the weekends where we are bought out. This time of year, we're open about 5 nights a week.
Where are you located?
We're located 1 block south of the town square in downtown Healdsburg on Center Street. Barn Diva is at 231 Center Street.
As you might know, one of the reasons I came up was because of post-fire. You hear a lot of people going, oh my God, people aren't coming because they think the whole place burnt down. Do you hear that? Because you know the disconnect. I mean, I came here and go, where's the fire?
Absolutely, yes. Again, a very good question. I'm glad you're going to touch base on that. But Barn Diva has been proud to provide a donation per dining experience that we have per guest. We are donating a $3 contribution per table. But yes, bringing up the note that people say is, you know, there's definitely devastation here.
And but from far away, absolutely. People think that Healdsburg burned down,
yeah.
And it didn't.
Yeah, Healdsburg did not burn down. It definitely affected a lot of its residents and merchants, and we're feeling a little bit of a bump in the economy, but to be honest, where we're at here at Barn Diva and a lot of the cases for the merchants downtown, there's a lot of quality and a lot of great intention in their product. So a lot of people have been coming here and coming to actually thrive and to get away from some of the darkness, and really having a good time really does a lot for the soul, for sure.
Your business really is local driven. It's not a real tourist driven place, right?
Very true. Yes, here at the gallery and bistro, we are booked every Sunday night. I'd say about 80% to 90% of our guests are locals, and lucky we are, for sure.
In addition to fried chicken, what would you say are the signature dishes? What do people think of when they think of Barn Diva?
Boy, oh boy, we have some awesome courses from the beginning to the end. To start with your meal, we have some delicious goat cheese croquettes that are breaded and fried and laid over some honey and lavender. Also, skip to some nice quail egg BLTs. We have some toasted brioche with a tomato paste topped with a fried quail egg and some fabulous sautéed bacon on top of that. For the entrees, sous vide chicken, as well with any filet or maybe a beef short rib shepherd's pie is on the tip. But we have an amazing pastry chef on board. His name is Scott Knoll. I tend to skip to that course all too often.
Start with dessert.
I definitely have a sweet tooth myself, and I love tasting anything he has to provide for us, and I'm definitely excited to let our guests know that they should definitely save room for dessert every time.
Good heads up. Ryan Beerer, manager at Barn Diva in Healdsburg, California. Thanks for sharing.
Hey, it's been a pleasure of mine. I really look forward to taking care of you soon, my friend. Absolutely.
Thank you. Do you guys have a website?
BarnDiva.com.
That works. Right now, we're at the Hayden Street Inn. And we're with John Hersey. What a pleasure.
Oh, great to have you guys here.
Would it be fair to call it a bed and breakfast?
Or? Exactly, yes.
Yeah. So it's an intimate part of the experience is the breakfast.
Exactly. The beds and the coffee are pretty important.
Yeah. Very cool. And this home was built, what, 1900?
1912.
And it was a family residence in its first incarnation.
Family named Passalacqua. Who, if you spend any time in the area, you'll find the name in other places, meaning there's a Passalacqua winery. There's a law office in town. There's a dental office in town, all Passalacqua. There's a lot of Passalacquas in the area.
So a part of the history of Healdsburg, really.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. And the wine culture is most of the families who have been here a long time have roots in the wine culture, even though years ago wine wasn't the predominant thing in this area. It's something that's just always been a part of the area.
Yeah, and a part of the local families. Everybody had their own rocket fuel in their basement.
Yeah.
So one of the reasons I came up to visit has to do with the aftermath of the fire that came to the region. I know people down on the California Central Coast that have decided not to come to Healdsburg, erroneously thinking that there was damage here. Tell us about the picture and some of the consequences, some of the things you're battling because of that perception.
Well, the town of Healdsburg, amazingly, was completely untouched. Mm-hmm. Other than smoke issues for the first couple of days, we were literally untouched by the fires.
Driving up here on 101, it was hard to find evidence.
It is. Now, with that said, it was substantial. And what you saw on the news is it's all true, but they tend to blow things out of proportion and show nothing but the devastated areas, which in comparison to the entire area are very small, but the devastation was extensive. We have several families that are staying with us because they lost their homes, they have nowhere to stay, and housing was tight before that situation. But then you have hundreds and hundreds of families that lose their homes, and the housing situation becomes a lot worse. And then with that said, during the course of the couple of weeks when that stuff was going on, our cancellations were just unbelievable. We couldn't even keep up with all the cancellations we were receiving.
Because of just that perception.
It was strictly because, you know,
the sensationalism.
Yeah. And we had people that canceled for 2 months in advance, thinking this devastation's, you know, like you said, the entire area is just a big pile of ash.
Yeah, interesting. So now it's been almost a month. Are you feeling some positive traction and movement?
Yeah, of course we are. Yeah, people are more comfortable with coming here, and they're starting to realize that the area is still beautiful. It's funny, if you mentioned driving up the mountainsides and the hillsides that did get burned from the roads, you know, they just look all brown. But at this time of the year, everything's all brown anyway, you know, before a rainy season. So it really is hard to, when you look along the mountainsides, to tell where the fire damage starts and, you know, just the normal areas that were untouched begin, because it's all brown and gray and golden, I should say.
The golden hills of California. Well, tell us a little bit more about today in Healdsburg and why somebody should come and what they would see.
We're just at the end of our busy season, and I often tell people that coming up here during the winter is a great experience if you're into food and wine, because the area, you know, all the wineries are open the same as they would be in the peak season. Everything is open, operating as normal. The restaurants, everything. A few places might have somewhat limited winter hours, but other than that,
but they're still open.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, you walk into a tasting room, and the people working behind the tasting bar are so excited someone just walked in their door, they fall over themselves to cater to you. So you get this amazing personal service. You'll meet the owners, the winemakers, and like I said, people are excited that someone just walked through their door. So you get this amazing experience.
So it really is a great advocate for the traveler, because the negative of coming in the middle of the summer, you're going to be waiting in line for places.
Yeah, and this area, it doesn't get quite that bad, you know, and it depends on where you're going on any given day. But Napa, because it's been marketed so well over the years, really gets the huge crowds. And over here, even during our peak season, things are pretty reasonable. But again, during the winter, you just get treated incredibly. You know, you're the only one there, and they don't want to let you go.
I love it.
Restaurants, you know, our restaurants, we've got a ridiculous number of restaurants for a small town. But during the busy season, even with as many as we have, it's hard to get into them. Mm-hmm. And here again, during the winter, you could pick and choose the restaurants and, you know, really get the same experience without having to deal with the crowds or compromising on your restaurant choices because you can't get in here or can't get in there.
And I think another dynamic, kind of the under the radar, because it is not Napa, in the food scene. I mean, last night we went to two different restaurants, and I was bluntly blown away by the reasonableness of the price of the different entree items that you would not find in Napa.
Yeah, the choices are just so plentiful. And the same with the wine. pricing on the wine is still at a level that it's fairly reasonable. And there's a few that have, you know, their prices have gotten a little out of reach. But for the most part, the prices in this area for everything, food and wine and so on, are a little more reasonable for the same quality. I mean, the food quality here, just because you're paying a little less doesn't mean you're compromising on quality. The culinary culture in this area is amazing, and the wines are just phenomenal. And again, I think for the same quality, you're getting it for a much better price.
Well, it really is kind of a best-kept secret of Northern California in many respects, because you're in the shadow back again of Napa as the big buzz name.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Like I said, over the years, they've done a really good job at marketing themselves. And the average person across the United States or even across the world, if they think of wine country, that's what they think of. Mm-hmm. They don't realize that not only are there places like Healdsburg, but up and down the entire coast from San Diego up to Oregon, there's some amazing wines being made.
It's, well, even Livermore and Lodi, extraordinary.
Yeah, it's not exclusive to Napa anymore.
John, thanks for sharing. I really appreciate it.
Sure, great talking to you.
For further information about your inn,
we're the Haydon Street Inn. Our website is really simple, Haydon, HAYDON.com. First thing you'll see is a picture of Karen and I, and if that doesn't scare you away, then there's lots of good information there.
John, thank you again. This has been great.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Healdsburg, California.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
The Underbed music was performed by Monterey County-based musician Mike Beck. To learn more about Mike, log on to mikebeck.com.